Blog Talk Radio.
Talk about things that really, really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, tonight, we've got an interesting show. And that lag time where there's no football, even though you got baseball, well, the hockey finals are over. Baseball, the basketball finals are over. Yeah, you got a little bit of golf, and, you know, racing used to be fun and used to be able to talk about it, but that's when they raced. Now they don't race anymore. Now they drive. That's all they do is they drive, and they got timeouts. You don't have a timeout in a race. It's a race. 500 grueling miles from beginning to end. You don't get a break. Oh, I need a timeout. I need my safe space. Oh, shut up. Race your friggin' car, you little weenie. And for the love of God, can pitchers go more than five friggin' innings? God, that is irritating. Ah! I believe, I really believe, and I've always believed, even as a little kid, that if 5 innings and you get the win, I think, no, you need 7. You gotta be ahead in 7 innings to get a win. You play 9 innings. You don't play 5. My God. I don't know. But that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Well, anyway, we're gonna get the crew on board here real quick if I can shut up. But I mean, sometimes things just irritate me, and I gotta let it out. And this is the only time I can let it out. So I let it out. Well, anyway, tonight's top headlines. Again, we're going to do sports show trivia tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of really good questions, interesting questions, and educational questions. And if you're in the chat room, which we do have open, or if you want to call in, press the number 1, lets me know that you want to speak. You want to be a part of it, we'll let you know. But anyway, we're going to have Seth and the Viper compete against each other. See who's really knows the most. Now, I'm going to be the moderator because I know the least. So I get to ask the questions, and the two that know sports much more than me get to battle it out. So we're going to find out who's who in sports tonight. So we're not going to really talk too much about this Aaron Rodgers pimping out his magic tea to all these other athletes. I don't want to get into that. I don't want to talk about any of that. I just want to get straight into trivia tonight. We'll talk about all the other stuff after the game is over. So let's bring the crew on board. It looks like number one, this must be Seth. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, Skeet.
All right. Now we're going to bring Viper on board here now. And look, this is, you know, I was on the phone with you last night, Seth. And those are some pretty good questions. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to learn a lot tonight. So let's get ready. So,
and what's really fun is, when you're a sports person, that's one thing. Then you're a sports historian, that's another thing. Then you're actually a historian in other things. So, sports trivia, even if I don't get an answer right, I love it that I get to learn a new answer. You know what
No, hey, look, when I was a kid, I got a Trivia Pursuit game for Christmas, and I would sit there for hours reading the cards. You didn't play Trivia Pursuit with me because I had the whole friggin' game memorized. When I was a little kid, I had the entire Guinness Book of World Records memorized. Literally, I could tell you anything. I used to do that when I was a kid. But anyway, let's bring the Viper on board here. Viper, my friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, good to be here.
Well,
Viper.
This is going to be fun. We got Viper at the beginning. Usually we got to wait. But so this is a treat tonight. So anyway, I want to begin with this. First of all, we're going to cover the rules, and I had to add, I forgot to, when I sent you guys the picture of I forgot the rules, I forgot to put one in, but we'll get to it. Anyway, there's 3 rounds. Each round consists of 2 categories. The total of each category determines the winner of that round. Then questions are going to be worth either 2 to 10 points, and there's a reason for that. The most points at the end of all 3 rounds wins and must buy the bar round. And the mix-mash category, now each contestant, which is the last category of the 3rd round, you're going to be able to pick your own category for the 5 questions. You get to pick. You can go stick with one baseball, any sport you want. And if I can find it in here, if we cover it, you want to pick a particular sport, you let me know. I can find it. I'm telling you, I got a treasure trove of sports trivia. It's beautiful. So you category what you want, and we'll give you the question. So Let's see. I need to pull up all my stuff here. While I'm doing that, hopefully my mouse sticks with me. Please. No, I was on the phone with Seth, and this site has got everything, Seth. I mean, you pick any sport, right, and it gives you – these are good questions. They're not, you know, like what Viper was worried about, so bad that there's no way you can answer them. Well, these are – they give you
– Well, just keep in mind, it's not our job.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're sports people, but it's not our job to – keep up to date with the latest of the baseball encyclopedia, which I used to do as a kid, but not anymore.
Right, but I mean, so far that I have found, they have multiple answers, and some of them are, you can at least eliminate two right off the bat. So what it does, it makes it
gotcha.
Kind of fun where you can, you know what I'm saying, where you can
no.
kind of, Yeah,
I mean, a Viper right now is our diva, and it's mine. So, yeah, we'll just deal with it.
All right, let me pull up.
I ain't no diva here. Come on, man.
Diva.
My question is, since you guys talked on the phone last night, how do we know this isn't a situation where Hillary got all the questions before the
Well,
this is not a secure server, dude. This is not a secure server. I guarantee you that.
Well, we did cover the very first question, me and Seth. So we're going to cover it now, the first question that I found. And we're going to cover it now. This is a practice run. Who was the first player drafted in the NFL draft in 1936? So who was the first player ever to be drafted in the very first NFL draft in 1936? Was it A, Jay Berwanger, B, Don Hutson, C, Bart Starr, or D,
no,
Sammy Baugh?
So this is a sample question?
You get to pick. So is it Sammy Baugh? You already said no on Bart Starr, which Bart Starr in 1936 was probably about, you know, knee-high to a grapevine, you know, still licking windows. So he wasn't ready for no football yet.
Let's qualify this. I may not know everything about sports, but this is where good test-taking skills come into play. I'm going to eliminate Starr and Baugh because they're too obvious. They're big names. There's no way it can be a big name. So who's the other two?
Jay Berwanger or Don Hutson. Not Hudson, but H-U-T. Don Hutson or Jay Berwanger.
God, that guy sounds so familiar. Don Hutson. Why does he sound so familiar?
I'll think this, Viper.
This is a sample question. This is a sample. Okay, you take it.
I don't know if Seth remembers, but we went over it. Go ahead, Seth. Do you remember it?
No. I just want a Viper to outthink this. And
basically, there's two answers. Neither of them can be Starr or Sammy Baugh. That's obvious. So those are designed to distract. So
you got a 50-50 shot right here. Take one for the team. Just throw the arrow, man, and see where it lands.
I'm going to throw the dart in the air, and I'm just going to say probably Berwanger.
Yes, you are correct. Jay Berwanger was the top selection
total
in the first ever NFL draft in 1936. Originally drafted by Philadelphia, his rights were sold to the Bears coach George Halas, but his asking price of $25,000 for two seasons was way too high.
Whoa.
And he never signed a contract, instead taking a job as a foam rubber salesman. He died of lung cancer in 2002. Interesting. See, that's what I love about this site. It not only gives you the answer, but it gives you like a little bit of history, and you can learn from it. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't just give you the answer and say, this is the answer, and that's it.
Jay Berlanger was the original Eric Lindros. Okay, good to know.
So, okay. Now, let's go for real. Let me pull all this up here. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Are we on the clock? I'm on the
clock. We're on the clock. The
Hell
war room.
No. Hell no.
You get Bo. Say it with me. You get Bo.
Say it with me, Tom, you pancake-eating. So, okay, let me pull. I got a million sites that I got to pull up here now. Oh. Bear with me here. Okay, here we are. Round one. This is the category of football, NFL. So, in 1993, what NFL team made off-season trades for Joe Montana and Mark Callaway? Oh, no, come on. I'm not even going to do that one. Okay, that one's too easy.
Too easy?
Oh, my God, it was the Kansas City freaking Chiefs. I mean, you don't even have to – I don't even have to read the question. I already knew the answer halfway through the thing.
No, I was in Kansas City, and I felt better about myself, about my life, about everything that's been going on.
Yeah, that's a good confidence builder. You just stomped our self-confidence.
Yeah, okay. What team was originally named?
That's okay, Chief. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's not too easy.
All right. This is another easy one. So this is worth 2 points. Okay. What team was originally named? What team was originally named the New York Titans? Was it A, New York Jets, B, Kansas City Chiefs, C, Tennessee Titans, or D, New York Giants?
Oh, geez.
Seth.
We all know it's not Tennessee.
So I guess Seth, you get a try. Who's your guess?
No, I'm going to go with the Giants.
Okay. You're going with the Giants, Viper?
Okay, you said Tennessee Titans, Giants, Jets, and who else?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, no way on the Chiefs. I'll go with the Jets.
Okay. So, is the answer the New York – I already know this. I've known this for a million years, and I'm not even a fan of the team. New York Giants, no. Seth, it is not.
Whoa.
So you get a goose egg.
It's the Jets. Okay. All right.
Yes. The Titans, no. Kansas City Chiefs,
yeah,
no. New York Jets.
Yeah.
New York's original AFL team was called the Titans. When Sonny Werblin took over the franchise in 1953, he changed the team's name to the New York Jets to reflect the modern approach of his team and the star-studded performances he hoped his team would produce. Well, with Rodgers and his magic tea, you're going to get your wish again. They already did it with Joe, and now they're going to do it with him. So, well, maybe not. Who knows? But, okay, so Viper, you get 2 points. Congratulations. Okay. So let's see. Let's find another
your
question
guess.
Here.
Educated guess for the guest.
Well, this is another one's too easy. Ah, here's a nice one. Who was the very first player to rush 100 yards in a season? Was it A, Steve Van Buren, B, Joe Perry, C, Jim Brown, or D, Beattie Feathers?
The phone broke up there.
So, Seth?
Read that question again.
Okay. Who was the first player to rush for 1,000 yards in a season? Was it A?
Oh, geez, 1,000.
Steve Van Buren, B, Joe Perry, C, Jim Brown, or D, Beatty Feathers? All right, Seth, you're on the clock.
No, I'm going with the Dutch guy, Van Buren.
You're going with Steve Van Buren, okay. And Viper, you're now on the clock. Steve Van Buren, Joe Perry, Jim Brown, or Beatty Feathers?
Oh, man. Jim Brown, again, probably too obvious. Who is Joe Perry? Why don't I keep thinking it's Joe Perry?
You keep thinking the guy who sings for, or used to sing for Journey. Steve Perry. No, I'm sorry.
Steve Perry. I think Steve Perry had a brother that maybe was an Aerosmith, but.
Oh, yeah, I know. Who am I thinking? I'm getting all screwed now. Oh, wait, forget everything I just said.
I'm going to go with the wackiest name on the list. I've never in my life heard of Beatty Feathers.
It's got to be an idiot.
Just from the name alone, nobody on the planet would pick that. I'll go with the underdog, and I'll say Beatty Feathers.
Okay, well, I am going to go with Jim Brown, and I haven't looked at the question yet. And you could probably hear the buzzer. So let's try Beatty Feathers. You are right, Viper! Did you hear that dinging?
Oh, my God.
Well, that was Beatty Feathers of the Chicago Bears rushed for 1,004 yards in 1934. Remarkably, he did it in only 119 carries, giving him an amazing 8.4 yards per carry average in a season.
Wow.
That's insane.
8.4 yards. I mean, hey, look, we all love our Barry Sanders, but Barry Sanders was not 8.4 in a season. I mean, you get
I actually thought Seth's pick was going to be right.
I thought it was Jim Brown.
I've heard of Steve Van Buren, but I haven't heard a lot of him, and so I was like, yeah, probably way back then there were more people of Dutch origin playing football. Yeah, I thought that was a great guess.
Well, here he is, Beatty Feathers.
It's probably because of Steve Van Buren's, why we talk about 1,000-yard rushers now, you know.
Yeah.
In reality.
Oh, this is interesting. Beatty Feathers, William Beatty Big Chief Feathers, born in 1909, died in 1979, was an American football player and coach of football and baseball. He played, I would think that he's ought to be Indian with a name like Feathers, Beatty Feathers, Big Chief. I mean, your last name Feathers. Well, not necessarily. You got a last name Feathers. It doesn't mean you're. But no, that was a good guess. I mean, I thought it was Jim Brown, but this is 1934, and you never heard of him. No,
Jim
I
Browner.
Never heard of him. Nobody ever.
I never heard of him. That's a guess.
So, okay, let's find another question here. Those were worth 2 points. This is another 2-pointer.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Who holds the best rookie passer rating in NFL history? Is it A, Dak Prescott, B, Robert Griffin III, C, Tom Brady, or D, Dan Marino? That's Dak Prescott, Robert Griffin III, Tom Brady, or Dan Marino, who holds the best rookie passer rating in NFL history. Seth, you're on the clock.
Robert Griffin III.
Okay. That's your final answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Viper, who holds the best rookie passer rating in NFL history?
Did you say Dan Marino?
I said Dak Prescott, Robert Griffin III, Tom Brady, and Dan Marino.
Oh, man. I think I might bite the hook and go with Marino.
Okay. Well, let's see. Is it Dak Prescott? Yo! I had no idea. Yes, it's Dak Prescott, who finished his rookie season with a passer rating of 104.9, breaking the previous record of 102.4 set by Robert Griffin III in 2012. I never would have guessed that. I would have guessed Dan Marino, too. That would have been my guess with Dan Marino. But you came close. Had the record in 2012, but Dak beat him. Very interesting.
Interesting.
Okay, so you both get a goose egg. Now, Viper is up 4, and Seth, you're going to have to catch up. So this is a 3-pointer, Seth. So if Viper can miss and you can win, you could be just one behind. And then the next question is 5. So Seth has a chance to take the lead here.
Pressure.
Let's find another question.
The pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this before. I have, and I can't remember the answer. But I'm going to find out. I'm going to guess, but I'm not going to say it until we're done. But I think I remember this. Anyway, and this is for 3 points. What Motown singer tried out for the Detroit Lions in 1970? Remember that guy, Paper Lion? Remember that? You remember that, Seth? That newspaper guy that Alan Alda played him? You remember that? You remember that, Viper? Seth, you must remember that.
Yep.
Well, it wasn't him. So what Motown singer tried out for the Detroit Lions in 1970? Was it A, Smokey Robinson, B, Stevie Wonder? Well, the way the Lions have been playing for the last 60 years, yeah, Stevie Wonder probably.
Give me Big Stevie right now. You have to be blind. You'd actually blind. No.
Or is it C, Marvin Gaye, or is it D, Lionel Richie? So is it A, Smokey Robinson, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, or Lionel Richie? Seth, you're on the clock. What Motown singer tried out for the Detroit Lions?
Another time, I always thought it was Marvin Gaye, so I'm going with Marvin Gaye.
Viper?
I'm going to concur. I agree with Seth. The other three minus Stevie Wonder just don't make sense.
Well, that was my guess, too, that Marvin Gaye tried out for the Lions. I know it was somebody. I remember seeing this on one of my bazillion videos that I love to watch, and I love trivia, and I thought it was Marvin Gaye, too. So let's find out about Smokey Robinson. Well, let's find out if it's Stevie Wonder. No, what's Stevie Wonder? Lionel Richie? Nope. Smokey. Marvin Gaye! Yes, both of you win. Okay. Gaye bulked up nearly 30 pounds and trained with future Hall of Fame tight end Charlie Sanders while preparing for his tryout. He didn't make the cut, but remained close to the several players who actually sang background vocals on his 1971 hit, What's Going On? So he had the Lions, these guys he kept in contact with, and they sang on his record, What's Going On? You know that song. So, wow, that's interesting. I did not know that. The Lions are on, sang with him on that record. Interesting.
Well, and that's the only reason I knew that one is because I know Mel Farr, who's a Detroit legend. He's got a million these Melfar Superstar Detroit car dealerships. And I remember seeing him on commercials where he would be singing his part in that song. So that's the only reason I guess Marvin Gaye is because I knew Marvin Gaye sang that song. I know Melfar had sung background lyrics.
No, very interesting. All right, let's see. Let's find another question here. Okay, this is worth 5 points.
Oh boy.
Okay, well, I'm gonna. I got two kind of good ones. The other one we're gonna do as a bonus. But anyway, let's do this one. Which player holds the NFL record for the longest interception return? Which player holds the NFL record for the longest interception return? Is it A, Deion Sanders, B, Ed Reed, C, Ronnie Lott, or D, Eric Berry? That's Deion Sanders, Ed Reed, Ronnie Lott, or Eric Berry. Seth, you're on the clock.
Off the top of my head, I want to say Deion Sanders, but now that you said Ed Berry, I'm going with Berry.
All right. And Viper, who did it? Who holds that NFL record for the longest interception return? Sanders, Reed, Lott, or Berry?
Ronnie Lott was one of the best hitters in the league, but he wasn't known for his speed.
Nope.
Deion was, but I think Deion is the hook with the worm on it. I don't want to say Deion, although it could be. I'm going to actually agree with Seth. I'm going to go with Eric Berry.
No, Seth went with Ed Reed.
No, I didn't.
I heard him say Berry.
Oh, you said
yeah,
Berry. I thought you said Ed Reed. Okay, so you both are going with Eric Berry. Okay.
I'm going with Eric Berry.
So
I agree with Seth.
Okay. Let's see. My mouse is giving out. Let's see if it's Deion Sanders. A. Nope. Is it Ed Reed? Yes, it is Ed Reed. Baltimore safety Ed Reed not only holds the record for the longest interception return, 107 yards in 2008, but also the second longest interception return, 106 yards in 2004. Interesting.
Never would have guessed that.
Did not
Never would have guessed
know
that.
That. Never. I did not know that. So you should have said
I mean,
Ed
I know
Reed,
Ed Reed's good, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, no. I mean, well, anyway, just as a bonus.
There's
a whole bunch of them. What team won the first night football game ever played? The Akron Pros, the Canton Bulldogs, the Chicago Bears, or the Philadelphia Athletics? First night football game.
How many points
game.
Is this worth?
Nothing. This is just a...
Oh.
I just find it kind of interesting. So let's find
I'll
out.
I'll say the Akron.
Not Akron. Well, they just found out they're not. Not the Canton Bulldogs. Not the Chicago Bears. So it's the Philadelphia Athletics.
Yeah,
baseball's Philadelphia
right,
Athletics.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for allowing me that.
No,
yeah,
this is
no
another question. Film formed professional football teams. They were joining the Pittsburgh Stars. The athletes were okay. Okay, no, that was just a off the cuff. Okay, so let's total it up. Seth ended up with 3. Viper ended up with 7. So you're 4 behind, Seth. So you can make it, buddy.
I just,
let's go.
The Athletics, so I guess I'm...
Nope, so now we're going to go to baseball. Mouse can work. I need a mouse. It doesn't work, so I got to keep playing with the damn thing. It keeps sticking on me. And, okay, let's try this.
Okay.
Here we go. We are, no, this is the question that we did, me and Seth. This is kind of interesting. That against the team, this is just for a practice. This is the question that Seth went over with. It was a small question. Against what opposing team did Babe Ruth hit his first career home run against? Baltimore Sox, Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs, or the Yankees?
So what team did Babe Ruth get his first home run against?
Yeah. His very first home run, who did he hit it against? Was it the Baltimore Black Sox, the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, or the Chicago Cubs?
Baltimore. Back then, I got to believe most of the games were between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Odds are it has to be the Red Sox.
So he started with the Red Sox. His home run was against the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, wait. Okay, so.
Babe Ruth hit his first career home run against the New York Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah. On May 6th, 1915, he hit his first home run. And he was later traded to the Yankees for a fair $125,000.
Cool.
Which is about half an inning for these players today. So,
well,
okay.
Let's see what teams. So there was the Baltimore, and then there was.
Well, it was a bogus team. There was no Baltimore Black Sox, and it wasn't the Boston Red Sox because that's where he started with, and. Chicago
right.
Cubs or the New York Yankees, that's your 50-50 shot. And since he played in the American League, the only time he would have hit his first home run would have been in the World Series.
It has to be the Yankees.
And I believe
right.
the Red Sox played the Cubs in the World Series. So, you know what I'm saying? But, okay, this is for real.
So, okay.
Who was the no, but that one. That was too easy. You both know this one. So we'll start off with a real easy one just to get you guys warmed up. And again, there were 2 points. What Baltimore Orioles manager was ejected for record 91 games? Was it Mike Hargrove, Weaver, Hank Bauer, or Paul Rogers? Baltimore Orioles manager was ejected for a record 91 games. Was it Mike Hargrove, earlier Hank Bauer, or Paul Richards? You are on the clock.
Weaver.
Okay. Viper? Hargrove, Weaver, Bauer, or
no.
Paul Richards?
I really want to say Weaver because he's legendary for his blow-ups, but I just feel like that's the hook. I don't know.
No,
I'll take the hook this time. I'll take the hook again. I'll go Weaver. I can't think of anyone else that's been ejected more than that guy.
Well, let's find out. Hank Bauer, first of all, coach for the Yankees. Paul Rick, no. Hank, Mike Hargrove. No, was it Earl Weaver? Yes, I loved Earl Weaver. I knew the answer anyway. That's why I did, because I love Earl Weaver. I love Earl Weaver.
Mike Hargrove, I mean, he wasn't even the manager. Was he even the manager of the Baltimore Orioles?
I think at one time for a cup of coffee or so, and, you know, he might have had a Danish or two, but, I mean, he got thrown out a few times. Of course, if you don't get thrown out of the game, you're not a manager. I don't know what you are. But anyway, Earl Weaver managed the Orioles for 17 years, was ejected for a major league game, 91 games. He was ejected. He was once ejected from both games of a doubleheader. Well, that's Earl. I mean, leave it to him. Okay, so we all, everybody gets 2 points. Okay. Let's find another one. Oh, everybody should get that one. Okay, this is another easy one. The Brooklyn Dodgers, nickname originally referred to dodging what? Was it bullets, the police, trolleys, or horse droppings? The Brooklyn Dodgers, nickname originally referred to dodging bullets, the police, trolleys, or horse droppings. Seth, you are on the clock.
I'm going to go horse droppings.
All right. Horse droppings for the win. Viper, I know this answer, but I'm not going to say nothing. Viper, is it bullets, the police, trolleys, or we're in Brooklyn? I mean, dodging bullets used to be, still is.
Well, yeah, I can't. I'd be surprised to, you know, see it. Crime was that high considering everyone had a gun. dodging police, probably not. Horse droppings or trolleys. Were trolleys even a thing back then?
Trolleys have been around since the 19th century. They're done by a pulley. They're not done by any electricity or motor. It's done by a pulley. They're pulled along with a – they're connected to like a cable. And the
I think it's
pulled
between trolley and horse dropping. So just to switch it up, I'll go trolley.
Okay. Well, I do know the answer to this. If it's not trolleys, then I'm crazy. In 1892, the city of Brooklyn began replacing its slow-moving horse-drawn trolley lines with faster, more powerful electric trolley lines. In less than 3 years, electric trolley accidents in Brooklyn had resulted in more than 130 deaths and maimed well over 500 people. As a result, the term trolley dodgers was attached to the Brooklyn Ball Club. Interesting.
Well,
I did know it was the trolley dodgers, like the Chargers. That was for, and they started in L.A. That was for the credit card, people who use their credit card. They charged everything. And like it was like the late 50s, early 60s when credit cards came out. And L.A. was great with that. You know, just put it on my card, you know. Screw it. They're rich and, you know, elite. So, okay, Seth. We got another two-pointer coming up here. Let's find a good one. Well, that was easy. Okay, this is going to be a tough one. So this is a guessing one. What female pitcher once struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig? Obviously in a, you know, a exhibition kind of game. But what female pitcher once struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig? And they probably let her have it. But was it Constance Morgan, Kelsey Whitmore, Mamie Johnson, or Jackie Mitchell? Constance Morgan, Kelsey Whitmore, Mamie Johnson, or Jackie Mitchell? Seth, you're on the clock. Who struck out the Babe and Lou Gehrig?
I'm going with Mamie.
Mamie. Okay, but I'm sorry. But that's me. Viper?
That was
going to
be my guess. I'm going to go with Mamie. For some reason, that name rings a bell.
Let's find out. Was it Mamie Johnson? No, it was not. Was it Jackie Mitchell? Yes, Jackie Mitchell, a 17-year-old female pitcher for the AA Chattanooga Lookouts, once played the New York Yankees in an exhibition game and struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in succession. Wow, back-to-back. Number three and number four, down for the count. Wow. Well, good for Jackie Mitchell. Huh.
Wow.
I never heard that before. You'd think you would hear something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Jackie Mitchell ended up having five kids and was like 405 pounds. That's why we never heard of Jackie Mitchell.
Okay, this could be, this is going to be kind of an easy one, but not really. It's going to make you think. Now, this is worth 3 points. Who was the first reliever elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame? Was it Hoyt Wilhelm, Goose Gossage, Dennis Eckersley, or Raleigh Fingers? Who was the first reliever ever to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame? Hoyt Wilhelm, Goose Gossage, Dennis Eckersley, or Raleigh Fingers? Seth, you're on the clock.
I'm going to roll Raleigh Fingers only because Hoyt Wilhelm, I think, still is not in the Hall of Fame.
Raleigh Fingers, Viper, Goose Gossage, Eckersley, Raleigh Fingers. I mean, these are all three Hall of Famers.
Wait, maybe they are. There's no question.
Who got there
just
first?
Because of age. With age, I would go with, I mean, Gossage. Gossage,
yeah, but you also
got to
realize,
like,
some of these guys last longer than others, and some of them don't get in first ballot. So you see what I'm
right.
saying? And these are relievers, and relievers didn't, you know, people still.
You know, I want to go with Fingers too, but Gossage and Eckersley just seem to be later for some reason. I don't. And who's the fourth guy?
Hoyt Wilhelm.
Screw it, I'm going with him.
You going with
him? I don't
know
who he is, but I'm going to go with him. I'm going with Hoyt Wilhelm just because
okay,
I don't know who he is.
All right, let's find out. Is it Hoyt Wilhelm? Yes, it is! Hoyt Wilhelm was nearly 30 years old when he entered the major leagues and pitched until he was nearly 50. He retired with one of the lowest career earned run averages of 2.52 in Major League Baseball history. Did not know that. Seth, I thought you said the guy was not in the Hall of Fame. 30 years old, he joined the major leagues. And pitches till he's 49 years old. I think it was like, wasn't he in like the 50s or 60s or something, wasn't it? Seth? Let me find out. Hold on.
No, I'm not adding to any of this credence. No.
Let's see. Born July 26, 1922. Died August 23rd, 2002. He played, from 1952 to 1972. Came up with the New York Giants in 1952. Played with St. Louis, then Cleveland, then Baltimore. Then the White Sox for a number of years, then California Angels in 69, Atlanta for a couple of years, the Cubs, then Atlanta again, Dodgers for a couple of years. Let's see, how many strikeouts does he have? Well, he's got 150 wins. Runs, hits, runs, blah, 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 where's the saves? Win, loss, right? I don't want that. Oh, here's the save. 228.
Wow.
But it looks like the last one, two, three, four, 5 years, he got 0, 1, 3, and 3. 0. But, and then another, he got 1, 5, 5. So when he was pitching really good at 18, 21, 14. But Mariano Rivera, doesn't he have like, what, 600? Ridiculous number like that?
That guy's a freak, Rivera.
Yeah, but look at it this way, though. I mean, he started as, you know, starter, and, you know, used to be, though, the relief pitchers, guys that couldn't make it being a starter. You were a mop-up crew. You know, now relief pitchers are a specialized, you know, deal. So, all right, one more question. Let's find a good one. This is worth 5 points now. Okay. What player holds the record for the most hits in a season? Was it Lefty O'Doul, Darren Erstad, George Sisler, or Ichiro Suzuki? Was it Lefty O'Doul, Darren Erstad, George Sisler, or Ichiro Suzuki? Seth, you're on the clock. 5 points.
I'm going to go Ichiro.
Okay, that would be my guess. Viper, was it Ichiro? Lefty O'Doul?
I'm going to go non-alcoholic and Lefty O'Doul.
Lefty O'Doul, let's find out. No, Darren Erstad. No, George Sisler. No, Ichiro Suzuki. I remember this. I knew this anyway because he was with the Mariners. So, finished the 2000 season with a record 262 hits, giving a single season record for both the United States and Japanese baseball. That guy was freaking nature too, man. Okay, so let's total up. So, Seth, you got 7 on that one. Viper, you got 4. So right now the grand total, Viper, you got 11. Seth, you got 10. Okay, we got a horse race going on here. We got a race going here. Okay. Now we're going to go to the category of hockey. Again, there's 5 questions. All right, Viper?
Just don't kill me for steroid use.
All right.
No,
you know, horses.
I would claim it. I would claim it.
Who scored the very first goal in NHL history? Was it A, Dave Richie, B, Malone, C, Harry Highland, or D, Eddie Gerard? Dave Richie, Joe Malone, Harry Highland, or Eddie Gerard, who scored the very first goal in NHL history? Seth, you're on the clock.
C.
So you're going Harry Highland?
Yep.
Okay, Viper, who scored the first goal? Richie, Malone, Highland, or Gerard?
I want to say Gerard, but I'm going to go Dave Richie.
Well, that was my guess, Eddie Gerard. So let's find out. Was it Dave Richie? Yo! Dave Richie! Montreal Wanderers. Defenseman Dave Richie scored the very first goal in National Hockey League's history in league's first game. 1 minute into the game, 1 minute into the game between the Wanderers and the Toronto Arenas on December 19th, 1917. The Wanderers opened up the inaugural season with a 10-9 victory. Wow. That's a lot of goals. but had to withdraw from a league, had to withdraw from the league a few weeks later when their home was destroyed in a fire. Richie was selected by the Ottawa Senators, with whom he played the remainder of the season. Okay, interesting. So, All right. Oh, this one's be too easy. Let's try this. Another easy one. 2 points. What was the first NHL team to win back-to-back Stanley Cup titles? What team in the NHL was the first to win back-to-back Stanley Cup titles? Was it A, Montreal Canadiens? Was
Montreal.
It B, New York Rangers? Or C, Ottawa Senators? D, Vancouver Millers? Okay, Seth, who did?
No, I'm going
NHL
Montreal. Just,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was my guess as well. Piper, you know hockey more than we do. Are we close?
Montreal, Ottawa, and who are the two other teams?
We got Montreal Canadiens, New York Rangers, Ottawa Senators, and the
nope.
Vancouver Millionaires.
Nope. Oh, my God.
The Vancouver
Millionaires
is not a team.
That can't be a team. I've never heard of that team.
Yeah.
Well, I do know the Philadelphia Flyers became the first expansion team to win the NHL, but did they win the second one? That's the question. My gut tells me Montreal. My gut tells me Montreal, but I'm going to go with the Flyers.
No, we don't have the Flyers. We've got Canadiens, the Rangers, Ottawa Senators, or the Millionaires.
I thought it said Flyers.
New York Rangers.
I'll go Canadiens then.
Okay, let's find out. Is it the Montreal Canadiens? No, it is not. Is it the New York Rangers? No, it is not. Is it the Ottawa Senators? Yes, we knew it wasn't the Vancouver Billionaires. Okay, on August 4th, 1921, the Ottawa Senators defeated the Vancouver Millionaires. That was a real team back then. Okay.
Holy
1921.
Crap. You're kidding
yeah.
me.
No, I'm not. On April 4th, 1921, the Ottawa Senators defeated the Vancouver Millionaires 2-1 in the decisive fifth game of the 1921 Stanley Cup Final. Jack Darrah scored both goals for the Senators, who became the first NHL team to win back-to-back Stanley Cup title. Interesting. Over on Jeopardy, you know, that's just learned. Learning a lot of good stuff here tonight. So, okay. So, all right.
Wow.
Nobody got anything on that one. Let's find out. Let's find a good question here. Oh, this one should be easy. If you know the years. But all right, let's do it. One. Right now, set this down by three. What player set an NHL record in 1976 with 10 points in one game? Was it A, Wayne Gretzky, B, Darryl Sutter, C, Bobby Clark, or D, Phil Esposito? So what player set NHL record in 1976 with 10 points in one game? Wayne Gretzky, Darryl Sutter, Bobby Clark, or Phil Esposito? Seth, you are on the clock.
Phil Esposito.
Okay. Viper?
I actually know this one. It's Darryl Sutter.
Okay. Let's find out. We know it's not Wayne Gretzky. Let's find out. No. Bob Clark. No. Phil Esposito. No. So it must be Darryl Sutter. Yes, on February 1976 set an NHL record with 6 points and 1 on 6 goals.
These questions are rigged. Yeah.
In a 11-4 win over the
Wait
a minute.
Who scored the most in one game in the NHL?
Wait a minute. No, this is like a 50-year-old question. Seth.
Yes. Viper.
Wait a minute here. Set an NHL record with 10 points in a game, but he did it with only 6 goals and 4 assists. I'm thinking 10 goals in one game. So he gets 4 assists, and that counts as a point?
Right.
Oh, that's... Well, see, that's splitting a hair. You know what I'm saying? See, I was thinking 10 goals, but they said 10 points.
No.
You get a point even though you get a this. You don't get a half a point. Like football, you get a half a sack.
Correct. A point's a point.
Okay. Well, it used to be a walk was considered a hit. So if you think about it, and I think it was even during Ty Cobb's era, when he got walked, that was considered a hit.
Yeah, I guess.
So,
this is beginning to clean it all, Skeet. Yeah, it sounds fine. Yeah. We're all going to be good with this.
Okay, well, here's another one. Who was the first NHL player? We do have a caller. Let's turn on the caller so I know who this is here. Let me check the numbers here. This is Lou the Jet Man. Lou, good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Thank you, Captain.
Hey, we're doing some stuff here now. We're doing sports trivia.
Okay.
So the next, we're on hockey. It's between Seth and Piper. But we'll let you join in. This question is for 3 points now for Seth and Piper. It's the first NHL player to score 50 goals in a season. A, Wayne Gretzky. B, Howe. Maurice Richard. Or Eddie Carr. All right, Seth. 3 points. Who scored 50 goals in a season? Gretzky, Howe, Richard, or Shore?
Am I on first?
No, Seth.
I know this one.
Seth, are you there?
Yeah. No. I don't want to answer this. No.
Well, Who scored 50 goals in a season? Gretzky, Howe, Maurice Richard, or Eddie Shore?
The first one, yeah.
Probably Gretzky.
Okay. Viper?
Well, not to be a hockey snub, but that's Maurice Rocket Richard, not Richard.
Oh,
right.
Hey, Richard.
Exactly.
That's your answer.
Like anybody even wants to say it, but then all of a sudden I'm getting pressured.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, Maurice Richard, French.
Learn how to speak French, Steve.
So, Viper, you know the answer. Who did it?
It's Maurice Rocket Richard.
Okay. And Lou, you going to agree with Piper? Was it Maurice? Okay. Let's find out. Maurice Rocket Richard. Yes. The final game, 1944-45 season, Maurice Rocket Richard became the first player in NHL history to score 50 goals in a season as Montreal beat the Bruins 4-2. Richard scored his 50 goals in 50 games. It was the only season Richard netted 50 goals in his Hall of Fame career. Wow. Okay, so Viper, you got 3 points. And Lou, you go and count you for three. All right, now we got a 5-pointer here. So let's find a good question here. Oh, okay, let's try this one. Who was the first hockey player to win Sportsman of the Year honors from Sports Illustrated? Was it, I've got my guess, was it A, Eddie Shore, B, Bobby Orr, C, Bob Bourne, or D, Wayne Gretzky? Who was the first hockey player to win Sportsman of the Year honors from Sports Illustrated? Eddie Shore, Bobby Orr, Bob Bourne, or Wayne Gretzky? Seth, you're on the clock.
Bobby Orr.
5 points. Viper? Bobby Orr, Bourne, or Gretzky?
Gretzky and Orr seem to be obvious. What are the other two names?
Eddie Shore, Bob Bourne, Wayne Gretzky, or Bobby Orr?
Orr and Gretzky seem to have. I'm going to go with the Bob Bourne guy.
All right. Lou, who was the first player to win Sportsman of the Year? Eddie Shore, Bob Orr, Bob Bourne, or Wayne Gretzky?
Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr. Okay, well, my guess was Eddie Shore. So let's try. Is it Eddie Shore? No. Is it Bob Bourne? No. Wayne Gretzky?
Oh,
no, geez. It is not. It is Bobby Orr! Bobby Orr was named Sportsman of the Year,
Bobby
Sports
Orr.
Illustrated in 1970, making him the first hockey player to receive the award. He also won the league MVP honors that year and led the Bruins to a Stanley Cup championship. Wow. Interesting.
Leaping into the air.
Seth, pick Bobby Orr. Who did you pick, Seth?
I picked Bobby Orr.
I
picked Bob Bourne.
Lou. Okay. Oh. Let's see the what we got here. Seth, 5. From that. Viper, you got 7. So, and Lou, he got 3. Oh, now we have Seth at 15, Viper at 18. So you're 3 points, Seth. Okay. Now we're going to go into boxing. Let's go to boxing questions. All right.
Oh, that's probably good.
Where was boxing first introduced as an organized sport? And I talked about before. This is an interesting question. Where was boxing first introduced as an organized sport? Is A, Rome, B, Greece, C, Babylon, or D, Ethiopia? Where was boxing first introduced?
B, Greece. B, Greece.
Okay, Viper? Was it Rome, Greece, Babylon, Ethiopia?
I'm going to agree with ancient Greece.
Okay, and Lou, are you going to go the same?
Ancient Greece.
Ancient Greece, I do believe that was my guess as well. Let's see if we're right. Yes, various evidence of boxing rules date back to ancient Greece, where boxing was established as an Olympic game in 688 B.C. I did not know that. One legend holds that the heroic ruler, or whatever his name is, invented a form of boxing with two men that face to face and beat each other with their fists until one of them died. In time, the boxers began to fight while standing and wearing gloves, sometimes with spikes to facilitate greater damage. Wow, face to face with somebody, sitting there and beating somebody until they die. Yeah, sign me up for that. Put me in, coach.
That's what they call the blood
sport. Put
me
in.
I wanted to play today. Oh, Lord of living. Okay, let's find something else.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one.
What that goes back. What's that quote in Conan?
I'll be back.
What's that quote?
No, Conan the Barbarian.
No, that's the Terminator.
Oh.
Yeah, they fought to the death back then with Conan. It's like, crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of their women.
Crom, I've never prayed to you, Crom. But if I've ever prayed to you, then...
The gladiators had a motto as well.
Crom.
And, yeah, so... Okay, what boxer killed a man in the ring? Mike Tyson.
Oh,
B, Sonny Liston. C, Mike LaMotta. Or D, Sugar Ray Robinson. What boxer killed a man in the ring? Mike Tyson. Sonny Liston, Jake LaMotta, or Sugar Ray Robinson. Seth, you're on the clock.
What are my choices again?
You got Mike Tyson, Shane Liston, Jake LaMotta, Sugar Ray Robinson.
What was the last guy with the Italian name?
Mike Tyson, Sonny Liston, Jake LaMotta, or Sugar Ray Robinson.
No, the third guy.
Jake LaMotta?
Jake LaMotta.
Yeah. Viper, is that where you're at, too?
No, Sugar Ray Robinson.
Sugar Ray Robinson, okay. Lou, who killed a man in the ring? Mike Tyson, Sonny Liston, Jake LaMotta, or Sugar Ray Robinson?
I'm going to go with Sonny Liston.
Going to Sonny Liston?
Good guess.
Okay, let's find out. Was it Mike Tyson? No. Sonny Liston? No. Jake LaMotta? No. Sugar Ray Robinson! In 1947, Sugar Ray Robinson was scheduled to defend his title in a bout against Jimmy Doyle. Robinson tried to back out of the fight after having a dream that he had killed Doyle, but a priest persuaded him to go ahead with the fight. Robinson scored a decisive knockout in the eighth round. Doyle was taken to St. Vincent's Charity Hospital immediately after the bout, where he failed to regain consciousness and died a few hours later. After learning that Doyle had planned to buy his mother a house with the prize money, Robinson donated the money from his next four bouts so that the Doyle's mother could purchase herself a home, fulfilling her son's wishes. Wow.
That's classy.
Yeah.
Well, he had a dream that he killed the guy and didn't want to fight, and then he goes out and kills the guy.
Wow. Talk about premonition.
Hey, I actually get to throw some bragging right there. I've met Jake LaMotta.
No kidding.
Yeah, my grandfather and I used to love watching boxing together. My grandfather actually was a boxer, and he held a club record for the fastest knockout in Detroit with 24 seconds. But we went to the Detroit Athletic Club downtown. I think I was maybe 13, 14 years old, and they had Jake LaMotta there signing autographs. So I actually got to meet Jake LaMotta.
Wow.
That's cool. Well, here's an easy one.
Yeah.
This is an easy one. When did Jake LaMotta die, though? I mean, it was early 2000s, or was it 1990s?
Well, he was alive when I met him. So that would have been 80s.
What, was it in his restaurant?
Did he die in his restaurant?
No, where you met him.
No, it was the Troy Athletic Club. They had some live boxing there, and he was signing autographs. Yeah.
No, that's cool. So who was the only heavyweight boxing champion to retire with an undefeated record? Jack Dempsey, Muhammad Ali, Rocky Marciano, or Sonny Liston? I know this one. This is an easy one for 2 points.
So do I.
Seth, you should know this. Who is it? Jack Dempsey, Muhammad Ali, Marciano, or Sonny Liston?
What, undefeated?
Yep.
Marciano.
Yeah. Viper, are you there too?
Oh, yeah. That one's easy.
Yeah, and Lou, you're there too. Rocky Marciano retired with a career record of 49-0. I knew this, including 43 knockouts. His knockout to win percentage of 87.75 remains one of the highest in heavyweight boxing history. Okay. That was an easy. That's a gimme. So let's find something.
I'm going to bust you up.
Oh, here's a good one. Okay. This is a good one. What was the most rounds ever in a single boxing match? What was the most rounds ever in a single boxing match? A lot of times they would box until that was it. I mean, they would keep going. There was no 10 rounds, 15 rounds. It was you keep going until that's it. So was it 276 rounds, 110 rounds, 75 rounds, or 39 rounds? What is the most rounds ever in a single boxing match? 276, 110, 75, or 39? Seth, you're on the clock.
276.
Okay.
No
Viper.
Way. No way. No way. It's got to be between the lowest and the highest. I'm going to go with 75.
Okay. Lou? 39, 75, 110, or 276?
110.
You're going 110. Okay, let's find out. Was it 39? No. Was it 276? 276, Seth, for the 3 points.
No way.
Wow. In 1825,
no way.
Listen to this, 1825, Jack Jones beat Patsy Tooney in a 276-round fight that took place in Cheshire, England, that lasted 4 hours and 30 minutes. Before the Queensberry rules were introduced in 1867, each round of a fight would last until someone was knocked down. The deck boxer would then have 30 seconds to make it to his feet and back of the line in the middle of the ring, known as the scratch. There was no time limit, nor was there any limit to the number of rounds because of this many fights at this time would end in draws. So, yeah, that's what they used to do. They used to fight until that was it. You fought until you either died or you just said, screw it. I'm going home.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Like Clint Eastwood in Every Which Way But Loose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's find a good five-pointer here. Oh, this one could be interesting.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, this next one, that one's easy. This one doesn't count, but who is the only boxer throwing a punch? Was it Pernell Whitaker, Willie Pep, Floyd Mayweather, or Harry Greb? I got to go Mayweather on this one.
Only boxer to what?
No. No. No.
I'm sorry, it broke up. Only boxer to what?
To ever win a round without throwing a punch. It was Willie Pep. I thought
what?
That was Floyd Mayweather. Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, this one's for real. What boxer holds the record for the youngest professional debut? Was it Kid Laredo, Teddy Baldock, Jack Dempsey, or baby Arizmendi? Arizmendi? Baby Arizmendi. I know I'm not pronouncing that correctly. So
yeah.
What boxer holds the record for the youngest professional debut? This is for 5 points. Kid Laredo, Teddy Baldock, Jack Dempsey, or baby That's on the clock. Who did it? Who holds her record?
Oh, no. I just want to say the last name that you can't pronounce is the one that I'm going with.
Okay. Arizmendi? Arizmendi? Viper?
Yeah. You try to do it. It sounds like Navajo. You're trying to speak Navajo.
Navajo. Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'll go with whatever that I'll go with whatever that last name was that you can't say.
Okay. All right, Lou, you're going
to
go with the trend? You're going to be – you're going with baby?
I'll go with the kid. Kid Laredo.
Kid Laredo.
Oh, the kid.
Okay, let's find out. Was it Teddy Baldock? No. Was it Jack Dempsey? No. Was it baby? Yes! Baby for the win!
The baby.
After taking up boxing as early as 7 or 8 to counter the effects of polio, which he had suffered from as a young child, Alberto Baby Arizmendi is believed to have turned pro at the tender age of 10. He took his first championship, the Mexican bantamweight title, at only 18 and claimed the California World Featherweight title the following year. Wow. So, baby,
wow.
For the win. That's crazy.
Baby Arizmendi.
So, Seth, you ended up with 12 on that round. Viper, 2, 4, 6, and you ended up with 11. So, yeah. We got a game going here. So, right now, Seth, you are at 27.
Yeah.
Viper, you are at 29. And Lou, you're catching up, but you got in late, Lou, so it's not your fault. So we got,
okay.
Now this is round three. We're in round three now. The category is going to be golf, and then the next category is going to be mix-mash. You get to pick your own category per question. So I will answer, you pick the category, and I'll give you a question. So it's all, you're not playing against each other, you're just playing by yourself. So let's go to golf. I think we're going to have enough time to get through here. Okay, this one should be pretty easy. We'll start off with an easy one. This is for 2 points now. What year was the PGA of America founded? What year was the PGA of America founded? Was it 1886, 1916, 1932, or 1949? Seth? You're on the clock.
I'll go 1916,
okay. Viper, what year was the PGA of America founded? 1886, 1916, 1932, or 1949?
This is my 1886. Crap.
Well, number one, I don't think it's 1949. Two, I don't think it's 1886 because that's baseball. I'm going to agree with Seth and go with 1916.
Okay. And Lou, are you going to go with the crowd or are you going to be rogue? What was that?
1916.
Okay, let's find out. Was it 1886? No. Was it 1932? No. Was it 1949? No. 1916. There we go. The PGA, Professional Golfers Association of America, A not-for-profit organization, yeah, they're not-for-profit. No, they don't make any money at all. That promotes the game of golf was founded on April 10, 1916, with more than 28,000 members. The PGA bills itself as the largest working sports organization in the world. The PGA conducts four premier golf events, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so everybody wins on that one. Everybody's a winner. Oh, that's an easy one. Ooh, here's one. Who was the first winner of the U.S. Women's Open? So who was the first winner of the U.S. Women's Open? Was it Babe Zaharias? Was it Louise Suggs? Was it Patty Berg? Or was it Judy Rankin? That's Babe Zaharias, Louise Suggs, Patty Berg, or Judy Rankin. Seth, who won the first U.S. Women's Open?
Judy Rankin.
Judy Rankin. Okay, Viper?
God dang it, Seth. You're always taking my pick. What was the second and third one?
We have Babe Zaharias, Louise Suggs, Patty Berg, or Judy Rankin.
It's either Louise or Patty. I'm going to go with Patty Berg.
I like that name, Patty Berg. Okay. Lou, who did it?
Babe.
Was it the babe? Is it the babe? Okay. Well, let's find out. Was it Judy Rankin?
Oh, he's brave.
Not Judy Rankin. Patty Berg. Patty Berg for the win. In 1946, Patty Berg won the first U.S. Women's Open, a founding member of the LPGA Tour. Okay, so Viper wins on that one.
Let's go, Viper.
Okay. Now, I don't know this, but maybe you guys do, so let's do another one to give you guys some, you know, some confidence. What golfer was known as the Golden Bear? Was it A, Billy Casper?
Oh, come on.
Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer? I don't know. Well, then we'll forget about it. Who was it? I don't know. It's not going to matter.
I do.
No,
come on, Skeet.
I do.
I don't know. Jack Nicklaus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
The Golden Bear, because of his golden blonde hair.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not. Well, that's all the questions. Wait a minute. We got. Let's see these other questions. They don't have that many questions on here. Oh, the other ones had more. This one we've only got. All right. Well, what golfer set a PGA Tour record in 1945 by winning 18 tournaments? Was it Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Bobby Jones, or Bing Crosby? What golfer set a PGA Tour record in 1945 by winning 18 tournaments? Was it A, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Bobby Jones, or Bing Crosby? Seth, you're on the clock.
Bobby Jones.
Okay, you going to go with Bobby Jones? In 1945, won 18 tournaments. Was it Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Bobby Jones, Crosby?
I'm going Ben Hogan.
Ben Hogan. Hogan's Heroes. Okay. Yeah. Do you know this, Lou? Who set the PGA record in 1945, 18 tournaments?
I'm going to go Byron Nelson.
Byron. Okay, we got Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, and Seth and Bobby Jones. Let's see. Was it Bing Crosby? I'm going to go ahead and say no. No. Was it Bobby Jones? No. Was it Byron Nelson? Byron Nelson! Oh, Lou. Okay, 1905 by winning 18 tournaments, including 11 tournaments in a row. won 50 PGA sanctioned tournaments during his career, including the U.S. Open 1939, 1940, 45. Wow. Okay, interesting. All righty. That one's going to be too easy. You guys will be able to get it. It's too current.
Okay.
All right, let's try this. Who was the first golfer to reach $1 million in career earnings on the PGA Tour? Was it A, Bobby Jones, B, Arnold Palmer, C, Jack Nicklaus, or D, Tiger Woods? Who was the first golfer? This is for 3 points now. Who was the first golfer to reach $1 million in a career earnings on the PGA Tour? Bobby Jones, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, or Tiger Woods? Seth, you're on the clock.
Nicklaus.
Jack Nicklaus, okay. Who was the first $1 million on the tour?
I'm going to say Arnie. I'm going to go with Arnold Palmer.
All right. There we go. We got Nicklaus. We got Arnold Palmer. And Lou, who's your pick? Bobby
Palmer.
Jones? Tiger
Palmer.
Woods?
Palmer.
Who was that?
Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer. You were kind of breaking up a little bit. Okay. So we've got Lou and Viper with Arnold Palmer and Bethel Jack Nicklaus. Was it Bobby Jones?
No.
Tiger Woods?
No.
Arnold Palmer? Yes, Arnold Palmer! 1967, yeah. Arnold Palmer became the first golfer to reach $1 million in career earnings on the PGA Tour. During his career, he accumulated 62 PGA Tour wins, including 7 major championships. All right. Good for him. So
He had to do it in a career, what the 15th place golfer gets today in one tournament.
In one friggin' match. I mean, some of these guys,
the
you know.
15th place probably gets you a million.
Okay, here's in 2024, almost 20 years ago. I can't believe it. In 2004, who became the oldest golfer to win the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year? Was it Todd Hamilton, Carlos Franco, Vijay Singh, or Frank Linkletter? There's no N. Yeah. Linkletter.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Seth?
What are the names again?
Who was the oldest golfer to win the
PGA name?
Okay, who was the oldest golfer to win the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year? Was it A, Todd Hamilton? Was it B, Carlos Franco? Was it C, Vijay Singh? Or D, Frank Linkletter?
Yeah.
The name like Linkletter, I mean, you got to be good.
Ew.
So, okay, Seth, who did it for 5 points?
Yeah, like you said, the last name.
So you're going to go with Linkletter?
How could you not?
Yep.
Seth, do you understand the question?
He does.
Yeah.
All right, we'll put him down for Linkletter. Viper, who was the oldest golfer to win the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to go with Linkletter. Who's the second one?
We've got Todd Hamilton, Carlos Franco, Vijay Singh.
All right,
this
so
is from 2004.
I'm going to speculate. Oh, yeah, okay, so I'm going to speculate. Sergio was probably the best Spanish-named golfer after Seve, so I don't think it's Carlos. Vijay Singh, no.
I'm
going to go with the first one, Hamilton.
Go Todd Hamilton. Okay. Lou, who's your pick?
My guess.
Hamilton, Franco,
BJ.
Singh, or Licklider?
BJ Singh.
Yeah, that was my guess. So let's find out. Was it Licklider? No. Was it Carlos Franco? No. Was it Hamilton? Hamilton! Who picked Hamilton? Was that you, Viper?
Oh.
Yep.
Okay, so Viper wins on that one. 5 points. In 2004, at the age of 39, Todd Hamilton became the oldest golfer to win PGA Tour Tour of the Year. Although he had already been a professional golfer for 17 years, Hamilton had spent last decade stuck in the Asian tours. He was awarded Rookie of the Year honors based on victories at the Open Championship and Honda Classic. Okay.
Wow.
Very, very interesting. Okay, so on that round.
Does anyone know what that's from?
What?
You just said very interesting, but stupid.
Oh, no, very interesting. That was laughing. That was, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name now?
Arnie Johnson.
Oh, come on. How do I know this guy. Oh, this is driving me crazy.
He was being that German guy on the Laughing Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
But he would say interesting. Yeah.
Very interesting, but stupid.
Very interesting.
Oh, unbelievable. Okay, so
It'll come to us.
8, 9, 11, 12. Uh-oh. Viper, you whooped him. Viper now is at 41. Seth, you are at 29.
We're not that far apart.
Yeah, well, because you got 12 the last round, and Seth only got 2. So you just went.
Oh, ooh. So he hooked it into the woods.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way that that's a big elite.
Wait a minute here. Okay, 29. And 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 12. 12 plus 29 is 41.
Yeah.
Seth had 27, then he got 2, and that's 29. Not 19, 29. No, it was 29, not 19. Okay. All right, now this is mixed match. So we're going to go Seth, Viper, and then Lou. So Seth, first question, you pick the category. What category do you want? Football, baseball, hockey, boxing, or golf?
Football.
You want football. Okay. Want to find some questions we haven't covered yet? Okay, since you're from Detroit, which player supposedly put a 50-year curse on the Detroit Lions? Was it
Earl Barrera,
Dutch Clark, Greg Landry? Who was it, Seth? You know it, obviously.
Bobby Lane.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. I did not know that. So that's worth – these are all doubled. So the first three are worth 4, then 6, and then 10 points. So, Seth, you got 4 points. So, Viper, now you get to pick your category. What category do you want?
I'll go football.
Go football. You know this one. Wow. All right, Viber, I'll give you an easy one. What are the only two teams from the NFL's founding franchises that still remain active? Cowboys and 49ers? Well, now this is too complicated with all this shit. Let's find another one. Okay, what year was the sudden death overtime period adopted by the NFL? 1954, 1974, 1964, or 1984? What was the first sudden death overtime period adopted by the NFL? 54, 74, 64, or 84? You're going to say 84. Was it 64? No. Was it 74? 1974. Sweeping rules changes were adopted by the NFL in 1974. Add action and tempo to games when sudden death overtime period was adopted. Wow, okay. Did not know that.
Yep,
Lou?
I did.
What's your
baseball
category, Lou?
Baseball.
What rookie pitcher hit a home run in his very first at-bat? Was it A, Mordecai Brown, Grover Alexander, Hoyt Wilhelm, Chief Bender? So what rookie pitcher hit a home run in his very first at-bat? Was it Mordecai Brown, Grover Alexander, Hoyt Wilhelm, or Chief Bender? Who was it, Lou?
I'm going to say Grover Alexander.
Grover Alexander. Well, let's find out. Was it Mordecai Brown? No. Hoyt Wilhelm. Hoyt Wilhelm.
Again.
That is 28-year-old
twice
rookie
tonight
pitcher. Wow, I did not know that. 28-year-old rookie. Hall of Fame, Hoyt Wilhelm had a home run. Wow. Interesting.
That's twice tonight that name's come up.
Yeah, right. It is. Came out of nowhere. Okay, Seth, second question worth 4 points. What's your category? Hockey, boxing, golf, football, or baseball?
Football.
Football. Okay, we got 15 minutes, so we got a haul. That's fine. That's an easy one. Okay. Who was the first player in NFL history? Kind of long. Who was the first player in NFL history to pass for 400 yards, throw 4 touchdown passes, and rush for 50 yards in a single game? That's 400 yards. The first player to throw 400 yards or 4 touchdown passes and rush for 50 yards in a single game. Was it A, Steve Young, B, Michael Vick, C, Deshaun Watson, or D, Dak Prescott? That's pass for 400 yards, throw 4 touchdown passes, and rush for 50 yards.
Michael
Vick. So you're going to go with Michael Vick. Okay. Was it Steve Young?
No.
Deshaun. Oh, Deshaun Watson. In week 8 of his rookie season, Houston's Deshaun Watson showed his potential as the league's next superstar quarterback. And then he started raping women, and that was the end of it. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL in practice. Yeah, he tore his ACL. Tore his brain. So, okay, that was just me.
I would have said Steve Young. Oof. Wow.
Well, I was kind of thinking Dak Prescott or Steve Young. I did not think Deshaun Watson. But okay, Viper, what's your category?
Well, I got a lot of points with hockey, so let's go with hockey.
Hockey, let's go with hockey. Oh, this is going to be easy. That's too easy for you. Okay, in 1993, Chris Draper was traded to the Detroit Red Wings for $1, $10,000, $1 million, or $100.
I thought you were going to throw out the easy one, Captain. This is legendary, man. Even Seth knows this one.
I don't know it. I'm going to say $1.
It is $1. Very good guess.
Okay, well, I'll give you 4 points. So now you're even. So now you and Seth are even in the mix-mash round. So, okay, Lou, you got no points. What category?
Football.
Well, I changed up the page. So if you want hockey, I got different questions. Okay, let's see what we got for football
hockey.
Here. So you want to do hockey then?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do hockey. Okay, how tall was the original Stanley Cup? Was it 7 inches, 17 inches, 27 inches, or 37 inches? How tall was the original Stanley Cup? And you know it keeps getting bigger. 7, 17, 27, or 37 inches? For 4 points, Lou.
I was going to say 7.
You're going to say 7, okay? Was it 17? No, 27. No, 37. No, so it is 7 inches, yes. The Stanley Cup is named after Canadian Governor General Lord Stanley of Preston, who donated the trophy. The original pole was only 7 inches high and 11 inches wide. Okay, Seth, for 4 points, pick your category.
Football.
Let's pick another page here. That's an easy one. Okay, how many passes did Brett Favre attempt for the Atlanta Falcons? Was it 4, 40, 400, or none? How many passes did Brett Favre attempt for the Atlanta Falcons?
4.
Is that why he's that was his number, 4? Let's find out. That's what I was thinking. Why, you know. Brett Favre attempted only 4 passes. That's it. Okay, Viper, pick your category.
Well, I'm going to
How many points did I get?
You got 4 points.
All right, thank you.
4 passes, number 4, 4 points. That makes sense.
And his number was 4. So everything's 4.
That's what I said. His number was 4.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with baseball to show my the breadth of my sports knowledge.
All right, let's find a good one here. Which player holds the record for the most RBIs in a single game? Was it Phil Weintraub, Tony Lazzari, Alex Rodriguez, or Jim Bottomley? So was that Phil Weintraub, Tony Lazzari, Bottomley holds the record for the most RBIs in a single game.
Process of elimination, I'm going to say the last one.
So you're going to go with Jim Lobotomy. Bottomley.
Jim Lobotomy. Yeah. Well, I hope he's not French. Lobotomy. No. I really don't know. I'm just going to go with the last one.
Okay. You are right. On a midsummer afternoon in Brooklyn in 1924, Cardinals third-year first baseman Sonny Jim Bottomley came to bat 6 times and delivered 6 hits, including 2 home runs, a double, and 3 singles off the Robins pitcher. Bottomley drove in 12 runs that day and set a major league record that still stands shared with the Cardinals' Mark Whitten in 1993. Wow.
Mark
okay.
Whitten, wow.
Well, I remember when, who was that? Alomar, Robbie Alomar. I think he got like 11 once. It was somebody. I was watching it. They got 11 in a game, 11 RBIs. I mean, to get 10. I mean, even to get 4. So, okay, Lou, we got 10 minutes left. We got 2 more questions. So, Lou, what category are you going with?
Well, what's left?
We got football, baseball, hockey, boxing, or golf. You pick any category you want.
Boxing.
Okay, let's go. We already did that one. Let's find something else. There's not very many. Okay, let's try this. Okay. Let me see. Who was the first fighter to defeat Mike Tyson as a professional? Was it Evander Holyfield, Orlin Norris,
nope.
Buster Douglas, or Frank Bruno?
Buster Douglas
was a 42-1 underdog going into his 1990 fight against Tyson, who was undefeated and considered to be the best boxer in the world. But he wasn't that night. He lost. Okay,
nope.
Seth, for 6 points now. These are 6 points now. So, Seth, pick your category.
Boxing, I guess.
Boxing, okay.
Nice.
Who was the only boxer who officially knocked Floyd Mayweather Jr. down during a fight? Was it Carlos Hernandez, Miguel Cotto, Oscar De La Hoya, or Diego Corrales? I think it's Corrales. So who's the only boxer
one.
Who officially... Diego Corrales? Okay.
Yeah.
No. Well, it wasn't. Was it Oscar? No. Was it Miguel? No. Carlos Hernandez. Mayweather went whole career without being knocked out, but there was one time he was technically knocked down. One time. Wow. Interesting. Okay, Viper, pick your category.
Yep.
Pick your poison.
I'll go with golf.
Go with golf. Let's see what we got here. They don't have very many questions here. Let me try to... what type of clubs are used for shots from a tour? Come on. Okay. It'd be an easy one for you, Viper. What golfer, because we don't have very many questions. We've already been through all the questions. This is the last one they got. I don't know why they don't have very many questions on golf. They got several pages on all the other sports. But so anyway, what golfer?
Over 100 years of golf, right?
Yeah. But they just don't have, on this particular website, they don't have very many pages for golf. I don't know. But anyway, what golfer replaced Tiger Woods at the top of the official world golf rankings in 2004? Was it Tom Watson, Phil Mickelson, Tom Hamilton, or Vijay Singh? What golfer replaced Tiger Woods at the top of the official world golf rankings in 2004? Tom Watson, Phil Mickelson, Tom Hamilton, or Vijay Singh?
By process of elimination and knowing Phil Mickelson had a propensity for choking, I'm going to say Vijay Singh.
Well, 2004, Tiger was in his prime. I mean, that was, you know what I mean? He still was in his prime. Vijay Singh, you are absolutely correct. replaced Tiger Woods at the top of the official world golf rankings, ending Woods' reign of more than 5 years, 264 weeks. Okay, Lou, for 6 points, pick your category.
Baseball.
Baseball. Got a page here. Minor league question, but it's pretty interesting. We'll find something out. What is the most stolen base? Oh, my God. First, second, third, or home? But, gee, I wonder which one.
Yeah.
Okay, this will be an easy one for you. Who is the only New York Yankee to win both the Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player? Alex Rodriguez, Thurman Munson, Mickey Mantle, or Dave Rigetti? What Yankee won both the Rookie of the Year and Most Valuable Player award? Rodriguez, Thurman, Mickey, or Rigetti?
I'm going to go with Mickey.
That's what will be my guess, too. Let's find out. We know it wasn't A-Rod because he didn't come up with Yankee. Thurman? Thurman Munson, my boy, absolutely.
Wow.
I love my Thurman. Number 15, the catcher, Thurman, the captain.
Munson,
I think he was one of the first captains. Well, anyway, considered the heart and soul of the Yankees,
yes.
Thurman Munson was named the first team captain. I was right. Team captain since Lou Gehrig. That's right. It was Lou Gehrig was the first one. That's right. That's correct. That's right. He led the Yankees to 3 consecutive World Series appearances and 2 consecutive World Series championships. Well, and he also died tragically in his airplane.
Yep. August 2nd, 1979.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, that was – I love my Thurman. I love Thurman. He was old school catcher, old school baseball, shows up to the ballpark with his lunchbox. I mean, blue collar all the way. Let's mix it up today, boys. Let's get in a fight. Okay, now this last question. This is for 10 points. 10 points now. Seth, pick your category.
Baseball.
Baseball. Okay. Easy one. These are easy. That's an easy one. Okay, who was the first American League player to hit a home run in his first at bat? Was it Luke Stewart, Bill Lefebvre, Joe Mulligan, or Elmer Smith? And they only gave us 60 seconds, so hopefully they give us a little bit of overtime. So, Seth, who was the first American League player to hit a home run in his first at bat?
Amazing.
What was he saying?
First guy you said.
Luke Stewart. Luke Stewart, he is right. Seth gets 10 points. August 8, 1921, in his first at-bat, St. Louis Browns rookie Luke Stewart hit a home run off Washington's Walter Johnson. Well, good for him. Okay. So, okay, Viper, pick a category.
Fireballer Walter Johnson. Fireballer. Go back to football, I guess.
Oh, football, football, football. What? Oh, this is kind of an interesting one. I had forgotten. What was the only team that beat the Jaguars in 1999? Was it the Steelers, Ravens, Browns, or the Titans?
Did you say 1999?
Yeah. I remember they did have, that was, what was Burrell? Burrell. I had had his jersey, as a matter of fact. I don't know how I got it, but I got it. But no, they actually had a pretty good team. So who was the only team to beat the Jaguars in 1999? Steelers, Ravens, Browns, or Titans? I do have my guess.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe the Titans.
Think 1999. Titans weren't a team in 1999.
No, but no, both those franchises came in the same time, didn't they?
Yeah, but I thought it was later. I don't know. You could be right. Okay, let's find out. Was it the Steelers? That was my guess. Ravens?
No.
No. Browns? Titans? Yes! Wow, Viper! Including the playoffs, the Jags had a 15-3 record in 1999. All three losses came at the hands of the Tennessee Titans.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that. Wow.
I did not know that either. So obviously in their division, they lost twice. And then in the playoffs, they lost the once. Wow. Very interesting.
Yes.
So we got
Artie Johnson. That's the guy from Laughing.
Artie Johnson. That's it.
Artie Johnson.
I had to text my mom for that.
Wow. Artie Johnson. I mean, I was on right there. I know the guy. I knew the guy growing up when I was a kid. Why I couldn't remember his name is because he said something, and then, you know. So, okay, last question. Lou, pick your category. 10 points.
All right. Hockey.
Hockey. What color are Winnipeg Jets fans asked to wear at home playoff games? Is it blue, red, white, or silver?
I think it's white.
I think it's white. Well, let's find out. Is it blue? No. Is it red? No. Is it silver? No, it is white. It is white for the 10 points. Okay. Well, Lou, you kind of came in late. But Viper, you ended up with 63, and Seth came in close at 47. So, I mean, for an off night of sports, there wasn't much going on, and me and Seth were talking, what do we do? Well, Seth came up with a trivia game, and I liked it. We learned a lot today, interesting stuff. Lou, yeah. I really want to thank you for joining in on the fun. Viper, thank you very much. And Seth, thank you. We are in a little bit of overtime. I'm surprised they haven't cut us off. I don't know if we're going to be able to hear us in archive. That's the thing. When it goes into archive, sometimes they may not hear us. But in any event, thank you very much, all those that were in the chat room and everybody that listens in archive. Lou, thank you. Viper, thank you. And, of course, as always, Seth, thank you very much. And we'll see you back here next week. 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday night. Goodbye, everybody.